Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The parents of Jesus used to go up every year to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12, they went up for the celebration, as was their custom. As they were returning at the end of the feast, the child Jesus remained behind, unknown to his parents. Thinking he was in the party, they continued their journey for a day, looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. Not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. On the third day, they came upon him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his intelligence and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? You see that your father and I have been searching for you in sorrow." He said to them, "Why did you search for me? Did you not know I had to be in my Abba's house?" But they did not grasp what he said to them. He went down with them then and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother, meanwhile, kept all these things in memory. Jesus, for his part, progressed steadily in wisdom and age and grace before God and others. The good news. Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
And here's Zella.
Here's Zella. I feel like I've been 40 days in the desert with this homily. It's also been sort of like gathering pieces of a puzzle all over the place, and in the end I'm not sure what the picture turned out to be, so maybe you can help me. As I read in today's gospel, that Jesus progressed steadily in wisdom and age and grace before God and people, it was kind of comforting to think of Jesus, that he had to discern what his mission and his message was for the world, that he didn't come with a completed download that was given to him, and he had the same free will as you and I to explore how we progress in wisdom. Isn't that what most of us are trying to do? I know that in my own spiritual journey, that my sincere hope is that I'm always, or at least usually, progressing towards becoming a better version of myself. The word becoming is an action word, and to me it implies growth and movement. Maybe we are all like plants. We are either continuing to grow or we're dying on the vine. But likening myself to a plant, I see the seed that was planted in me as a child. I see as a child I was given, as many of you cradle Catholics were, a catechism that was used to instruct me in the principles of a religion that was the faith of my parents and grandparents. It seemed to have all the answers. Some of those answers were terrifying. And I can clearly remember lying in bed at night trying to remember any sins I might have committed so I could confess them soon and save my soul from eternal damnation. By contrast, Stephen was never given that message. And once at St. Augustine's Church, he was with a small group of people that were helping a new deacon work on his upcoming homily. The discussion centered around salvation, and Stephen surprised them all by saying that he never felt the need for salvation because he never felt damned. What a different solution of fertilizer his little plant was given. I think that as a child I was so deeply internalized the vision of God as a father that I had transferred all my misguided messages from my own father as being how God saw me. It's not surprising to me that I always felt like I could not measure up. I was living in a house with a critical dad who it seemed to me was always concerned about what other people would think of our family, a very Italian approach. Looking back, I know he always wanted the best for me, and luckily he lived to be 98 years old, and just as my relationship with God changed, so did my relationship with him. But in my early years, I used to wonder what it felt like for Jesus to hear, out of the sky, with lots of people listening and hearing, "You are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." I think, well, no wonder he was so courageous. He had just been given the ultimate seal of approval. I know in Tom's recent homily, he was trying to teach me and all the rest of us that that message wasn't exclusively for Jesus. I am working with that and trying hard to truly envision myself as beloved. These early images of God were ones of exclusion, or at least I saw him, and definitely him, as having favorites. As I heard in phrases like, the Israelites were the chosen people, and Jesus was the only Son of God, I had no distinction between the human Jesus of Nazareth and the cosmic Christ, which Richard Rohr eloquently explains in his discussions of the universal Christ. I love how he says that Christ is not Jesus' last name. And I believe that he's correct in stating that this idea is utterly new to many Christians. According to Rohr, this is not unorthodox or heretical. He explains that Christ existed through all of eternity and states that it's very clear in Paul's letter to the Ephesians and all throughout the scriptures. Well, he might see it as very clear, but for what seemed like a very long time, the idea was utterly new to me, too. We are truly blessed in this community to have the scholarly people who usually do these homilies. Tom mentioned in that same homily that St. Augustine was the first one to bring in the notion of original sin. I had never heard that before. There is so much I don't know that I'm always amazed when I'm asked to share my little tiny bit of understanding with all of you. Anyway, I really got to thinking about this whole idea of how a belief in original sin set my life on a journey so completely different than that of Stephen's, and it made me wonder if that might be one of the reasons that keep young parents, like our two sons and their wives, away from any kind of organized religion. I know they don't want their children to ever hear that they're not loved, or that they were born somehow with a mark on them because of something that probably never happened eons ago. I'm so thankful to no longer be shackled with the idea that because Adam and Eve fell from grace in the garden, that all humanity has been burdened with this idea of unworthiness. Thankfully, as my little seed sprouted into a little plant, I moved along and met others who held different perspectives and had slightly different answers to the big questions. In Anne Marie's homily about the wedding feast, she talks about falling in love with Jesus. And then she shared how David Brooks was falling in love with Jesus too. Although I think I always wanted and believed that I should be in love with Jesus, I think I found it hard to love him when I felt so guilty and so sad and responsible for his gruesome death. I felt like I owed him so much. And I'm still sad that anyone was killed in such a brutal way, especially someone who was trying to teach us all to be kind. It wasn't until I was in college and started studying Eastern religions that my little plant began to grow beyond the tiny pot I was originally planted in, and luckily for me, I was transplanted into a much bigger pot. As I was expanding, so was my view and understanding of God, and I was placed in a better light and began to see a God that loved everyone. As my journey progressed, and as my big questions continued to challenge me, I was surrounded by my own version of the teachers in the temple, with whom I often discussed these questions. One of those was Father Richard Ragney, who was our priest at the Newman Center at Slippery Rock State College. I researched a little about him as I was preparing for this homily, and found out that he passed away about 10 years ago, at 80. When I met him in 1970, he had only been ordained for 4 years. After reading his obituary, I realized that he was 37 when I met him. One of the coolest things about him was that his brother was Jerome Ragney, who, along with James Rado, had written the play Hair. As a result, we were singing songs like Aquarius and Let the Sun Shine In, and songs from Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell at our folk masses at the Roxy Theater, downtown Slippery Rock, on Sunday mornings. New songs brought new ideas and new ways of looking at things, maybe similar to the cello player from your homily last Sunday. There are several things I clearly remember about Father Ragni. One was that he was Italian, and he came from a big family. And I read that he was actually one of 10 kids born in Pittsburgh, not far from where I was raised. The other thing was that as I began studying Eastern religions, he never tripped me out, never said I couldn't receive communion, or made me feel that my doubts and questions were wrong. He and another priest, Father Nico, who later married Stephen and I, were both very influential in my early spiritual life and kept me from throwing Jesus out with the bathwater. And I continue to feel invited to join in the meal that Jesus asked us to remember him by. I find it really fascinating when I think back on the amazing music that entered the scene in the 70s. These songs, three songs from that period of my life, still resonate with me. The first is, I don't know how to love him. Because to this day, I'm not sure quite how sure I can define my relationship with Jesus. Sometimes I just get so tangled up in the Bible stories that just don't cut it for me. I wish Mary had kept a journal. Because then these accounts of Jesus would have so much more cred. We were told she kept them in her heart, but wouldn't it have been awesome if she'd written them down? The other song from Superstar that, again, still resonates with me is Judas's questioning from the theme song. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, who are you, what did you sacrifice? Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, do you think you're what they say you are? But probably the one that I sang the most and that still touches me deeply is Day by Day from Godspell. Most of you know it, so sing it with me. Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly, day by day. I realized sometime along my journey that I am a follower of Jesus, but I don't check all the required boxes to be called Christian, because I really have my doubts about the whole atonement by Jesus, as we heard in today's second reading of Hebrews, where it says that he came to make atonement for the sins of the people. I came to the honest truth that it made no difference to me if Jesus was a Messiah or the Messiah or not. I believe that in Jesus' discernment, he chose to bring a message about love. I believe he wants us to follow his teachings, and in doing so, we will be helpful, kind, compassionate, and joy-filled people who continue to have him as a guide. Or as Kathy said in her beautiful homily on the Epiphany, a star to follow. But in my love and esteem and his respect for him, he doesn't have to be a superstar. I find him much more approachable as a dear brother. The whole time I worked on this homily, my prayer included, Dear Jesus, please don't let me say anything that would offend you. Like Judas sings in Superstar, don't get me wrong, don't get me wrong, I only want to know. Meister Eckhart is quoted as saying that every creature, not just humans, is a book about God. So we're all books about God. And I'm taking a big deep breath and realizing that I don't have to be a bestseller. And I don't have to make the New York Times list. And I don't have to measure up to somebody else's evaluation of whether my book is going to be a classic and referred to for thousands of years. I am an ever-evolving woman of a woman and a little plant trying to live her life to be the best human she knows how to be. Now finally, in closing, most of us know the satisfying feeling of cleaning out a closet or a drawer that somehow became a catch-all for all manner of things. In preparing for today's homily, I decided to get into my spiritual closet and really do a sort. It went into three boxes. Pause. As I sorted, the biggest pile was the stuff I don't know if it's true or not, but that I won't throw away just yet. The second box has the stuff that I knew for sure was trash, things I really don't serve me anymore, and the stuff that no longer fits. And unlike my hopeful clothes, these old beliefs will never fit again. Just as an aside, do any of you have hopeful clothes? You know, the ones you don't get rid of because you have some fantasy of that they'll fit you one day again? Just checking. Okay. And finally. You can set it down, Angie. You can set it down. The third box is what I now firmly believe. As much as I'd like to think that once I clean this closet, I'll never have to do it again, I know from experience that is not true. So all I could put in this little box was what I believe now. I believe that Jesus came to correct this misperception that we had fallen from grace and that God was mad at us. I believe God wanted us to know that we are deeply loved and never out of reach. I believe that the energy that imbues every cell of every living thing is the life that I call God. We are all living through some strange and unbelievable times, and it is especially hard trying to figure out how to actually love the brood of vipers currently trying to run the show in our country. None of us knows where the next chapters of our book are going to look like or how we're going to be called upon to serve, but I believe that we are co-creating with the God of love. And Jesus' one very clear message was love. Love. First, love your God, which translates to me as being truly grateful for having this amazing opportunity to be born human in this vast cosmos that was designed and ordained by a creator with an incredible love for diversity. Second, amen. Love my neighbor. I really try most days, though I'm going to be a lot happier when they take down all their signs. And third, love yourself, which up until a while ago was the hardest of the three commandments for me. But I'm grateful for the teaching of this temple and those of the many current wisdom keepers who continue to help us all. As the song goes, we are Christ for one another. My little plant was getting root bound, even in the bigger pot. So now I feel like I've been planted into the garden where I hope to continue to grow for eternity. Amen. Does anyone want to share what's in their box of beliefs briefly?